Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
Hey, welcome to Tech Connect, the Blue Star podcast about all things digital trends and topics in the reseller world. I'm your host, John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
So let's get ready to plug in and get connected. With us today is our special guest, Augusto Echecopar. I got that right, didn't I?
You did.
Awesome. From Star Micronics. Augusto is a channel partner executive for Star, as well as, and this is perfect, a kiosk champion. I love that title. I want to figure out a way to put champion into my title somehow.
Exactly.
Get a podcast champion, maybe. So we're very excited to have him with us today. We're going to talk a little bit about kiosk trends in hospitality and retail. I want to also give a special thanks to our founding members who make this podcast possible. We're excited to bring it to you. Of course, Star Micronics is one of them. So that's why Augusto is here with us today as our special expert. Dean, why don't you kick us off and talk a little bit about kind of the atmosphere around kiosks right now before we ask Augusto some specific questions.
Absolutely. So we come to you recording this podcast in strange times, as they say. Depending on when you're listening to this, we're coming. There's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel of the COVID-19 pandemic that's been happening here in the U.S. We've been under lockdown for a couple months now, and there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, like I said, and it's had a dramatic impact that I'm sure is going to last years, if not a decade or so, beyond where we're talking here today. And that impact is going to be felt across retail. It's going to be felt across hospitality in just changing behaviors of way people are shopping, the way people are interfacing at the hospitality level. And to be quite honest with you, I think it's very timely to talk about kiosks, because I think that, you know, part of the move is towards these touchless, if you will, or a little bit more of a different type of approach to buying, both at retail and hospitality. And so it's a new norm, right? That's what we're calling it now, a new normal that will be out there. And kiosks, I think, are definitely going to be in the whole self-service kind of area, is definitely going to be on that radar. Don't you think, John?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think, you know, as we move along here, we're going to see so many changes. It's funny you mentioned the new normal, because I'm already starting to hear people talk about the next normal.
The next normal.
You know, the normal we're dealing with now, which is how do we deal with the current situation, but then also what does it mean next? What happens down the road? What's going to change because of what we're doing now, and what are people going to expect to change? I think that's kind of going to be a little bit what we talk about today. Dean, do you have anything else before we kind of jump into some questions for Augusto?
No, let's jump right into it, because I think that we're going to have some enlightening conversation here as it relates to that self-service and that kiosk type of mode. And I'm really pumped to have Augusto here. So let's dive in. Yeah.
Great. Well, then to start off, you know, maybe jumping back a little bit into something a little bit more general before we get into the specifics of our current situation, which is, let's talk about an unattended kiosk. You know, why are we using them? You hear things like, you know, line busting, redeploying your staff, ticket size. There's some interesting stats I came across when I was researching this that talked about the idea that, you know, restaurant order times can drop by half with self-service when it's introduced. Ticket sizes can increase by anywhere from 20 to 30% when self-service is added. And also the customers seem like they feel a little bit more comfortable using self-service and more comfortable about maybe adding on objects or items that they weren't going to before, because they don't have, I don't know, the intensity or the pressure of someone staring at them, asking them, hey, do you want to supersize this? Do you want to add the large fry? Maybe they don't want to come off as like, yeah, I'm that person that wants it. So they dial it back and say, no, that's okay, I don't need that. Whereas on their own, they might. Tell us a little bit about that from your experience.
Well, thank you, John and Dean, for having me. I hope all our listeners are safe and continue to be safe. Yeah. Throughout these difficult times. I think that even before the pandemic, we saw a very steady and very obvious trend of the kiosk industry and self-service industries to grow. Every event was almost designed to present opportunities like that. And most players in the market, most ISVs and VARs, either they were already in that space or were trying to get into. So obviously it was a very robust, a very strong sector. When the pandemic started, interestingly, it affected very, very drastically in a negative way many, many industries, including the hospitality and restaurant industries in a big time. Mm-hmm. But actually, it gave more strength to the self-service kiosks and solutions specifically for this industry. Online ordering, for instance, right now is a very big winner at the moment. And restaurants are trying to reinvent themselves to maintain their operations. Otherwise, they have to close doors. So now we're seeing, for instance, self-service kiosks being developed to allow people to go to the restaurant and just place an order for takeout right out of the restaurant without having to interact with anybody. Before you had to go in, deal with a cashier, maybe get assistance from a waiter. And now everything is self-served. And many new ideas are going to appear. Interestingly, Starmicronics is a hardware manufacturer and Bluestar, you are technology solutions providers. But these guys that are out there, our ISVs, are extremely creative. And when the time needs creativity, they start to develop these amazing ideas using the products that maybe we already have or had in different ways. So I'm expecting things like that to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think that it's going to untap a marketplace in the ISV community, right? Because they're on the front lines as well in a different way, in that they're trying to adjust to the needs that are now coming down the line in the new normal of retail and hospitality. And so they're very, and I say they as an ISV community, but they're very good at adjusting to these new normals. And we're in conversations right now with some of these companies are coming up with very innovative stuff as it relates to self-service in kiosk and things of that nature. And one thing that Star, I think, does very well is tap into that ISV community. So that's a really good point, Augusto, that part of that community is definitely adjusting to where we're at today.
Definitely. Yeah. Augusto, do you think, obviously we're talking about how this is impacting now and everybody had to just jump in and figure out how do I make this work in my, establishment? How do I suddenly adjust to, not having people coming up to a counter and ordering from us, maybe not even opening the doors at all, having people order online, or if they are coming here using a self-service kiosk in some way. Do you feel like this is going to stick around? Like, I know there's a lot of things that we're dealing with right now in the current normal, the new normal, that when we do get to that next normal, some people may think, well, we're going to get away from that and get rid of it once we move out of here. This is one I feel like should stick around, don't you think?
I'm totally convinced. As you were saying, right now we have a temporary new norm, but after this pandemic is over and we beat it, there's going to be a new norm, a real new norm. Some things are going to be left behind because obviously we're things to deal with the extreme situations that we're dealing with right now, but other things are going to definitely stick and for good reasons. Right now, we as a community, as a society, we're taken away from our comfort zones. We were pushed away without having a choice. So we have discovered many things that are working and are very nice. Some restaurants that before never considered having a kiosk inside their restaurants now are looking at that as a very good option and probably a very good revenue generator. Just as an example, I do not have kids yet, no children. So I hardly go to these quick service restaurants. But every now and then I see myself in a situation where I have to rush into a meeting or something and I go to one of them. I'm so unfamiliar with the menus that I find myself in front of the cashier struggling to pick something and the cashier rushing me on making a decision. Are you ready, sir? Are you ready, sir?
Right.
And I'm not ready. So at the end, I just pick whatever and end eating whatever. Now that I go to McDonald's or Burger King, for instance, they do have these kiosks. So I go to the kiosk, I browse through these amazingly designed menus, beautifully designed, extremely intuitive, and I start looking through things at my own pace. Nobody's rushing me, and I pick whatever I want, and then they suggest something very appealing, and I pick it. I don't know why. And at the end, I bought more things. I felt nice. My experience was extremely good. And probably I'm going to start going to those restaurants more often.
Yeah, you know, and if I could pick up on that a little bit, because John and I were talking before you joined us, Augusto, and I was in the digital signage industry in some of its early inception, as we're looking back at an article that was back from 2003. And, you know, they were talking about some of the same things that we're talking about here as well, some of the same pain points or some of the advantages and what have you. But, you know, back then, the cost to implement a kiosk was so astronomical that only the tier one entities could do it, the McDonald's of the world. And when McDonald's did it, it was a smaller rollout. It wasn't across stores. But what's wonderful about, I think, where we're at today, and certainly the Star Micronics is so good at partnering up with other vendors like Elo, developing solutions like the Wallaby. This is a standalone kiosk that is at a price point that even small to medium sized businesses can consider at this point in time. So the customer experience that you just mentioned, and which, by the way, I thought you were going down a path because I got kids and, you know, I'm really good at Panera or whatever, like that, navigating through the menu and getting exactly what I want. But I changed my behavior accordingly, too. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, I think the price point of these types of solutions is really benefiting the small to medium sized business to even consider it. And so I know we'll get into this a little bit later, but that's why the reseller should be considering this type of technology today, too, because the cost of the barrier to entry is really kind of lowering itself at this point in time. And these types of solutions can get there, can be effective. Right, Augusto?
You're spot on, Dean. This is a very accurate appreciation of what is happening. I mean, Star Micronics has been partners with Blue Star for many, many years. And at least for the last two decades, we have been moving kiosk technologies together. Mm-hmm. And we have seen many things changing. And one of the most obvious one is definitely cost for those solutions. We're still keeping the very sophisticated and extremely elaborated kiosks that cost $20,000 and more. Sure. But now we're seeing new players bringing different type of approaches. Tablets, for instance. Before, it was something that you will never imagine in a kiosk. And now we have consumer level tablets being part of self-service solutions. Mm-hmm. We came back from the largest retail show in the industry in January. And I saw from amazing kiosks to kiosks that almost didn't look like kiosks.
The form factors are cool.
Yes, and yes. All the in-betweens. But the interesting part is, that was my perspective. But the market's perspective is, hey, that is giving me the opportunity to get to be part of the self-service world. I'm going to start with this. Maybe that's their solution for the moment, and they can start growing later on with a different, more sophisticated one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and can I go off script here a little bit, John? I hope you don't mind.
Of course. Not at all.
I think that there's a good angle here. And Augusto, because you've been with Star for so long, and again, I'll just reiterate it that I think Star does a great job of tapping into the software community. You know, that is another integral part to the kiosk solution, right? Is having the ability to have the right software, or a software that's easy to use, if you will, or a software at the end of the road that a reseller can feel comfortable with. And so I know you've got a lot of experience on the sales side, Augusto. Do you have any thoughts around, maybe from a reseller's perspective, what are some best practices as it goes to approaching these ISVs? Do you see where I'm going here? Because I think that, you know, resellers have to feel comfortable with those folks too. You know what? So the kiosk is the hardware, but what else am I going to be offering my small to medium sized businesses as good software that's easy to use, intuitive to build out, that maybe even these small to medium sized business owners can develop that menu very quickly in a nice intuitive UI that's easy to use, easy to implement. So what are your thoughts on dealing with the software community, Augusto?
I've seen that it is extremely important to have two things going. The first one is to have the right tools to provide to ISVs for their integrations to be easy and cost effective. Yeah. And then obviously have the right technologies available and the right people. I truly believe that people are key in this type of interactions and partnerships. And when we have, it is amazing, when we have this new ISV that just came in and we start developing that relationship, I see everything happening in real time, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Our team interacting with theirs. You know, mm-hmm. if we need to talk commercial, we do it. If we need to talk binary, we do it, and whatever is needed. And at the end, you accomplished two things. First, a partnership, a real one, that I think will be for the time to come. And mm-hmm. then you develop a solution that will become available to the market. So yeah. it's exceptional. So I truly believe that what we're doing from the Start Micronics perspective in developing our, for example, SDKs to make mm-hmm. them universal to all our products, extremely easily to integrate and provide these resources free of charge, of course, to any ISV or integrator that is looking into integrating our product is key.
Yeah. And I love where you went with your answer there, because I couldn't agree more. And if I could boil it down, it's an ecosystem, number one, because, you know, interfacing with people and companies have to talk with one another. And I know that I can already feel it. There's resellers out there right now saying, ooh, you know, oh, man, that's messy. Now I got to meet with people. No, it's not, because all you really have to do is have a couple conversations. And what I would advocate is working with great partners like SAR Micronics. You guys have, you know, foot soldiers out there that are dealing with software development companies all day long. So if I was a reseller that was already into SAR Micronics, I'd be interfacing with you, Augusto, to be perfectly honest with you, and saying, who should I have that conversation? Look, I'm the reseller. I don't have a lot of time. I got to pay the bills. I'm dealing coming out of this pandemic and all these other things. What's my fastest course here? I would want to lean on folks like yourself so that I could understand who those developers are and then start working with them to develop the solution. Right, Augusto? Because, you know, it's a little bit of a team effort. It's not as heavy as a lift, I think, as people think it might be to get into the space. It's not. You just got to have the conversations. Maybe some people on the reseller, their programmers have to learn a little bit of a software or something like that. But I think they can be up and running on this stuff relatively quickly. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better, Dean. I totally agree with you. And the interesting part is sometimes both Bluestar and Star Micronics, we serve as a matchmaker. Sometimes we have the VAR that does not develop, but they are very creative and they like to push and move solutions to their customers. And then mm-hmm. we have the ISVs that do not like hardware and they are amazing developers.
That's true.
And then we put them mm-hmm. together and we generate that synergy and a fantastic combination, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a heavy lift. You know, it just takes some conversations. And I think if you get a couple people pulling on the rope the same way, resellers can do this, but really interesting angle there on the ISVs, Augusto. There are ISVs out there that are like, hardware, no, what, no, you know, somebody else deals with that, but they got to know, right? They got to know, they got to have the SDKs, they got to get into it along the way. John, I apologize, but yeah. the software was a pretty good angle there.
You're allowed to change the directions anytime when it comes. It means a brilliant question and a great conversation like that. I appreciate it. So, but I do want to ask another question then, kind of to shift gears here a little bit, which is to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, as it relates to kiosks, especially in retail. You're starting to see, you know, a lot of trends around things like personalization, gamification, engaging customers, just ways that like you can grab someone's attention with a kiosk, even if they're not necessarily interacting with it, or even if it's not necessarily something that they came in intentionally expecting to use. You know, it's not like walking into a restaurant like McDonald's you mentioned earlier, where, you know, you expect to go up to it and place your order. Maybe they're finding them in unusual places they weren't before. Talk to us about some of that, and how is AI kind of transforming the retail kiosk landscape?
I think it's very interesting for people like us that we have experienced technology from its early beginnings, at least mm-hmm. these kind of technologies, as opposed to people that are being born nowadays that are exposed to this from the day one of their lives. Right. We perceive technology a little different, and I think I feel happy and lucky that I appreciate technology better because of right. how I grew with it. Artificial intelligence in many different forms has been around us for many years, right? For many, many years.
Right.
But now it has become more obvious how it can affect our lives positively. Easy examples, probably Siri, Google Home, Alexa, mm-hmm. doing amazing things. Every time they're becoming more intelligent and they understand our ways to communicate better, and they actually respond accurately. I love technology. I lived around it all my life, and I turn my lights on and off. I want to see a movie, and then my lights go get dim. I love it. My wife, maybe not that much, but but hey, it's part of the package, right?
Right.
So what I'm seeing is that these technologies are being adapted more frequently nowadays. That CPUs speeds are becoming faster because unfortunately the processing speed is directly impacts the ability to use artificial intelligence or not in different moments.
Yeah.
Now I understand, for instance, that maybe in the future passports are going to disappear. And we're going to be scanned. We're writing a scanning or fingerprinting or facial recognition. That those technologies are going to be so evolved that are going to be 100% accurate. And there's going to be no way to do something to bust the technology. So it's going to be way better than just paper passports with RFID chips, you know.
Right.
So many things are going to change dramatically in this arena. Nowadays, all these algorithms that follow people inside stores to try to predict their buying habits and how much time they spend staring at the product. If they spend 10 seconds, they show no interest. If they spend more than 10, oh, they were interested. Let's contact them back with this potential purchase. Mm-hmm. And kiosks are going to start at some point to almost read your mind. So you're going to go there and they're going to know your personality better than yourself and offer you things that you probably at the moment didn't know you need, but at the end you love. So it's probably going to happen.
I don't know if that's creepy or awesome. It's a little, maybe a little both. I don't know. It's funny. We were talking about this. We were actually talking about somewhat similar subject weeks ago, back before the pandemic, when we were all still, you know, hanging out together, you know, not social distancing. And I brought up the film Minority Report. I don't know if you remember that movie, Augusto, from 2002, I believe, when it came out. Yeah. So, you know, you had that scene in there where Tom Cruise is walking through a mall and all the kiosks and signage he's walking past is scanning his eyes and telling him, hey, you know, did you like those, you know, that sweater you bought the last time you were in here? We've got more of them back in stock. It's one of those things you think, oh, this is a science fiction movie. That's technology that's like, that's decades in the future. You know, I'm sure that movie was set quite a ways down the road. It's here. It's now. It's, you know, we're getting closer to that every day.
Yeah, and I think the important point here, and I think the things that are going to be successful are those that have the optics of the customer experience, right? AI can be viewed as, you know, dark and evil in some ways, but if the optics are, okay, we're just trying to improve the overall experience. If we get back to a hectic life of, you know, very busy, AI can have some benefits around making more things efficient, reminding you of things that you may not have, you know, thought about, that is very timely. And accurate. So I think those are the types of AI technologies that are going to win, right? Because if we as human beings, you know, react to it in a favorable way, and it's a technology that's helping us, okay, I think people are going to buy into that. And the black helicopters and the AI, you know, maybe, I don't know, kind of a thing, but not in kiosks, kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else anybody has to add about kiosks? Augusto, any other topics we haven't really hit on here that you want to discuss?
Well, I think that it's important for our partners to understand that we are more than just two companies working together. We are technology facilitators. That we have been around technology for some time, and they can use our expertise as consultants. Sometimes just starting a conversation out of an idea. Many partners, as we mentioned at the beginning, are not necessarily already in this space and they want to get in. So we need to pass this message very clearly that we are available to start this kind of conversations and hopefully take them to whatever they need to be to become successful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Heartily agree.
I think that really well, John, into where we were going to go next, doesn't it?
I think so too. Yeah. Right on our time here. All right. Great. Well, we are going to shift gears then and pick up on two recurring segments that are going to be part of our show each time. One is to talk about the value to the VAR, you know, and I think we've kind of hit on some of that throughout this conversation, but I'm going to really hone in on, you know, some specific things that are going to be important to resellers in the channel that are looking to sell kiosks and that need to, you know, that need to understand what they're supposed to be doing. So a couple of questions have popped into me. One is, what are some of the perceptions and the misconceptions that you think are in the market around selling kiosk technology that VARs should probably let go of and think of differently?
I think that one of the biggest misconceptions, especially nowadays that many things have changed, is the misconception of kiosk technology being too complicated, too complex. Let's stay away from that. Maybe we're going to fail. We need to start seeing kiosk technology as any other technology and not be afraid. And as we mentioned, use our resources, Blue Stars and Star Micronics, to become more proficient, to start speaking the language of kiosks. And in no time, our partners will be very, very, very successful in integrating them. I think that's probably the most important ones. It's interesting to see that happen.
Yeah, I agree, Augusto. I'm glad you said it, because that was the number one thing on my answer here is complexity. It's not as complex, I think, as people think it to be. And one of the areas of complexity, I think, sometimes trips resellers up as on the content side, as we mentioned before. And I really believe that if you tap into the right software company, and even those companies have an ecosystem that can help with content. If there's more elaborate content that needs to be created, for example, maybe there's some advertisement that runs when the kiosk is in passive mode, right? And it's a video or something like that. These partners are out there. You are not plowing new fields here. I mean, they're there. The people exist. The work is getting done. It's getting done rather efficiently and economically as well. So, wholeheartedly agree that it's not complex. Even on the content side, you can find partners out there and really enable kiosk solutions, because it's here. Self-service is here. Kiosks are going to be more and more prevalent. Yep, I agree. Glad you and I agree, Augusto, on that.
Yeah. And also, I think it's important for our partners to be. Obviously, nowadays it's not possible to have events, go to shows and try to share our new products with them. But as much as we can to promote this kind of events, virtual events, to bring to them all this information, it's important to be aware of what technologies are available to them. Sometimes without that information, they can start developing something based on old technology. Mm-hmm. And Star Micronics is always innovating, always trying to lead in this space. Technologies like CloudPrint or SteadyLAN are there for them to grab and for us to help them in that adventure. Yeah. So definitely that's important.
Yeah, absolutely agree. John, what was your answer to that question, by the way? What perceptions or misconceptions are out there? Because I don't know that you're as tapped in as Augusto and I are. So
I'm probably not, but I'm thinking of it almost like from the consumer point of view and from the people that might be buying the kiosks, you know, the ultimate end users, the restaurants, hotels, hospitality, hospitals, whatever. And I think sometimes a misconception that happens there frequently is that this is going to replace workers. It's the age old, you know, technology comes along, that means everybody loses their jobs and we're all around on the street somehow, which doesn't make sense. You know, why would we do that to ourselves? But what I consistently come across and you consistently hear about is that the facilities and enterprises and businesses that do this end up shifting that work elsewhere that makes them more, you know, easier for them to work, easier for to get more work done. They can, you know, scale their capacity much more. I mean, let's say rather than having, you know, four cashiers sitting at the front of a restaurant taking orders, you only have one to take that person that just doesn't want to use the kiosk or is not quite comfortable with it or something. And meanwhile, everyone else is back in the back, you know, either serving, cooking orders, maybe helping people use those kiosks. There's no reason that headcount has to be cut to go along with the kiosk. You know, a kiosk doesn't mean a worker goes out the door. It just means you can allocate your resources in better places and find more for them to do. So they got something that, you know, know, resellers can really talk about when they're talking to their customers that maybe are considering something like this and aren't sure about if it's for them. If that's a concern of theirs, you know, help them realize, like, look, this doesn't have to mean you cut staff. Mm-hmm. It just means you're finding better things to do for your staff to make your entire enterprise more productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree. And you know what also happens during those times? More innovation. I think the studies have shown time and time again when robotics and or self-serve like this replace or is perceived as being replacing of work, other work gets done. And some of that's innovative stuff along the way. So that's a good point, John, because, you know, and I'm glad you brought in the end user perspective, because maybe the resellers bought in, hey, I want to do kiosks, right, and I want to get this into my business. But okay, how do I break down the barriers of those that I'm now trying to sell it to? You know, what are some of those barriers? And I think that's a really good one that you've tapped into there.
Great, cool. Yeah.
And I think it also it's important, as it was mentioned already, the experience for the actual consumer.
Yeah.
This will dictate what works and what doesn't work. And it will also dictate what businesses need, because unfortunately, consumers will expect that. Mm-hmm. Experience to be recreated. If they go to a different business and they don't get it, they will never go back. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. I agree. I'm that guy. I'm that guy that will walk into somewhere and if they don't have the same experience I've had other places, like the self-serve or contactless payment, something that I like. I'm that guy who's like walking out going, oh, I didn't have this. You know, as cool of a place as they could be, you know. So there's something to be said for that. So, yeah, all right. Well, hey, let's move into our last segment, which is this is the fun part. Actually, the whole show has been fun so far, but this is the really fun part where we get to talk about some fun stuff that we're into. It's called What's Tech Connecting With You. I asked Augusto to, you know, think about what are one or two pieces of technology that are exciting and impacting you right now. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, that's part of the reseller channel. It doesn't have to be anything we're talking about today. Just what's something that's fun and cool or interesting that you've been reading about or using?
This is something that I find extremely amazing. Unfortunately, it's not fully developed yet, but it's going there. And I'm talking about quantum computing. Mm-hmm. Just for our listeners to get a perspective, today's supercomputers can process this extremely complex calculation. The most powerful supercomputer, 1,000 processors, can process this extremely difficult task in 10,000 years. These quantum computers can do it in 3 minutes. So yes, imagine that potential of this superpower, amazing technology. I mean, everything is going to flow. Real time is going to be redefined completely. Yeah. So I'm waiting. Hopefully in my lifetime, I'll see these quantum computers operating and probably, you know, handling all the traffic in the streets in real time with amazing accuracy and cars just driving by themselves, but accurately and reliably, right. Not like Tesla does it right now.
Well, next time we're at a show together, Augusto, car, I don't understand quantum computing. I mean, man, and I like to get geeky. Don't get me wrong, because you know I can barely understand a processor. But when you get into multi-folds and layers and what quantum? What? How does that work?
Bits versus qubits.
Right? Oh man, Augusto, you set the bar pretty high for this piece of the conversation here. I don't know if we can top it. Dean, what's connecting with you? Is it more exciting than quantum computing? You know,
not nearly as revolutionary as quantum computing. My thoughts were around exactly what we're using here. The technology that's got me. It's got everybody changing them is video conferencing like this. I mean, had I only been investing in Zoom, you know, a month and a half ago or something like that, the new world of video conferencing, I think everybody now is an expert at doing video and audio on their computer. Wait a minute, you know, my mic's not on. Right? I mean, how it's just totally changed a lot of the work environment today. My kids are using it. They use it at school. My daughter uses it to interface with her grandma, my mom. They do art lessons together just because that's the new normal, but all through video, FaceTiming, whether it's Zoom, whether it's something like this, To me, it's a known technology that was out there, but man, is it being used today? And I think innovation is even coming there. I was using Microsoft Teams, which is another version of this. And did you know you can put yourself in a different environment completely? You can be in whatever. I can be in space. I can be in a typhoon or whatever, wherever you want to be. They've got backdrops now. So there'll be even more innovation coming down the line. So anyway, that was mine, not quantum computing. Maybe we need quantum computing. That's what's intriguing me.
Right? Maybe something a little more practical and of the moment. You know, it's still a good one. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I feel like the first couple of weeks or so that we did this whole thing, that I learned about more different types of, you know, conference services than I'd ever heard of. New tricks, new trades. Yeah, it's an interesting new world. So I'm excited about it. All right. Well, I'll give you mine, which probably lowers the bar even more from where we've already been. Because, you know, Augusto, you mentioned up at the top, you know, that you don't have kids. Dean and I do. But in particular, I've got a toddler. I've got a 2.5-year-old. And, you know, he's stuck at home with us while my wife and I are both working full time. So I want to give a shout out to streaming services. Because if we were stuck at home and all we had was just regular old cable, where maybe you could find some kids programming, but it might not be anything that he was actually interested in. I'm not the person that wants to sit their kid in front of a television all day, but you got to do what you got to do right now. And things like Disney Plus have been amazing. He gets to watch Mickey Mouse for as long as he wants. He's watching some of my favorite Pixar movies. I'm falling in love with them. So it's been a great thing where, you know, I can put something on for him and entertain him for a couple hours if I need to get some work done. So I'm all for where we are with streaming services. You want to talk about something else that probably has seen their stock shoot through the roof the last couple of months. It's
no doubt.
It's people stuck at home with nothing else to do but, you know, watch a lot of television. So
was I the only one who was worried that when the first, you know, lockdown started coming out, I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, everybody's going to be at home just hammering the internet and these streaming services, and they're not going to work. And that's panned out a little bit. I mean, certainly we've all experienced peaks, I think, you know, you're at home and it stutters and, oh, somebody else, Lord knows for me, it's my three kids and they're all connected on their devices and just the pipes. It's unbelievable because to me, just 15, I know where we were from a technology 15 years ago, this kind of, you know, extreme streaming, if you will, of all, so many people would have just crashed the internet.
Oh, yeah. I was concerned about it.
Reliable. Yeah. I don't know, Augusto, do we have quantum computers in streaming services? Is it already here? Are we using it?
But when we do, probably streaming a video and video conferencing is going to be better quality than real life. So,
By that point, we'll be in VR headsets. We'll be inside the shows that we're streaming. You know, it'll be like, you know, friends, the next
another
generation.
Big dimension.
Exactly.
And we'll have virtual kiosks just to tie a bow around it.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, that does it for us today on the Tech Connect podcast. I want to definitely thank our special guest, Augusto Ishikopar from Star Micronics, a kiosk champion. I still think that's so cool to say, you know, cool for you to be able to say that. Thank you so much for joining us. We definitely appreciate it today.
Dean and John, thank you so much for having me again, and the best for you. Thank you so much. These kind of initiatives are extremely important. Thank you.
They are.
Well, everybody out there, it's time for us to unplug and move on for the day. But we definitely want you to keep up with us. So reach out to us where you can. You can find us on Twitter at TechConnectPod. That's TechConnect. Let us know what you want to hear and see about. Let us know what you think about kiosk trends that you heard from Augusto today. And we're happy to talk a little bit more about that. So thanks, everybody. And just remember, plug in, get plug in and get connected. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
This TechConnect podcast is brought to you by Star Micronics. In hospitality, the ability to meet customer needs in a timely fashion can mean the difference between a one-star review and a lifelong champion of your brand. If unreliable Wi-Fi is slowing down your point of sale, Star is here to help with SteadyLand, integrated into their MC Print Series printers for the use with iOS devices. SteadyLand allows iPads and iPhones to directly connect to the printer via lightning cable. With the printer connected to the internet via wired Ethernet, your point of sale system no longer needs to rely on a spotty Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. As a bonus, the device will charge through the lightning cable as well.
Star's MC Print Series thermal printers are chic, compact, and economical, featuring a splash-proof design, front-loading paper, and a multitude of connectivity options, including USB, Lightning, Bluetooth, LAN, and Cloud Print. Hub functionality allows USB connections for up to 3 peripherals and offers HID support for easy plug-and-play connectivity of your devices. It doesn't get much more value-packed than that. For more information, contact your Blue Star representative or check out Star Micronics' website on bluestarinc.com.